Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, can we just pray in tongues for a moment? If you don't pray in tongues, pray in your understanding. Just pray for a moment and say, Lord, speak to me. Father, we give you praise. Just pray in the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. Riba Shanda Bragadia Bashula Bragada Bashu Bragadia Balarobo Sia Barabaya Le Bragadia Bashu Bragadia Bashan Le Bragadabo Sibrahende Subrahala Bayabosh Zibrahanda Subregadia Baka Subregadia Rabushi Bregadilla Busha Lebron Zibrahanda Shibrakadabusi Bregadia Brakatabusi Bregadia Baradabushi Gabaradabaya Busha. Bashira Rabu, Sina Nabayara Kosira Rabu, O Namasera Barabo, Sirabae Bakura Dej, O Niarabu, Sina Nabayara Bo. I need you. I need you.
Nothing, no place no one else will do. I need you. I need you, God. For you satisfy the longing inside. I need you. I need you. Nothing, no place, no one else will do. I need you. I need you, Lord. For you satisfy the longing inside. Ta da da da. Ta da da. Ta da. Ta ta da da da. Ta da da. Ta da da. My soul longs and even cries for you. My head and my flesh cries out for the living God, for the living God. Incline your ears with trembling and tears of yearning. To the throne of grace, to seek your face and pardon. I'm longing for you. I need you. I need you, Lord. Nothing, no place, no one else will do. I need you. I need you, Jesus. For you satisfy the longing inside.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name forevermore. Hallelujah. Alright, so let's try to get into the word. Deuteronomy 1 and 8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give them and their descendants after them. And this is how it started. God told the children of Israel, look at it, so... it was so powerful, so simple, like everything was figured out yet. Because it was from God's perspective. Are we together? He told them to go take the land. And just like everyone seated here, except for now that you have some experience, if God has said these same words to you that he said to the children of Israel, you just think you just go there and the land will be yours. Amen. But it was not like that. So the first thing was that they had to leave Egypt. Hallelujah to Jesus. A place of convenience for the children of Israel, even though it was wrong for them to be there. But it was convenient for them, because they had been in the land for several years. You know, when you have a picture of the children of Israel in Egypt, most people think they were entirely suffering. Yes, they suffered. Many of them suffered. But they became part of the system that some of them grew in ranks. Are we together? And by ranks, I don't mean that they became in charge of the government, you know, and the rest. But they grew in ranks because I'm sure, you know, being in a land that is not yours, you have to have a leader within that land. Are we together? So some of them grew in ranks and they were not necessarily suffering the way you picture it in your heart. They were more like slaves. And some of them were not actually working like slaves. Are we together? What God hated was the fact that they were under the mastery of the Egyptians. And especially for the fact that God had promised them to be in charge. Alright? He has promised the blessing to come to the seed of Abraham. And these were his descendants. And he had told Abraham that himself and all of his children will not suffer. Are we together? And so God was not pleased because he's a covenant-keeping God to see his children suffering, even though they were not fully aware. Some sort of they were aware, but it was not really they didn't see it as any big deal. Are we together? Because they were enjoying the liberty as slaves. You know, I don't know if I can remember that part of scripture right now. I would have shown you how that, why they were en route the promised land, while they were going to the promised land. At some point, because of their, they think they were suffering, they told the Lord to take them back to the promised land. They called where they were living before, that God told them to left. Because of the situation in the wilderness, they now called where they were promised land. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? They didn't say promised land like you would not see it like as promised land in the scripture. They called it figuratively a land flowing with milk and honey. They say Moses would take them back to the land flowing with milk and honey. Meanwhile, Moses said, I'm taking you to the land. But because of the pathway, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They couldn't take it at some point. They said, take us back. Where we left is actually the place, the land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God has not changed. Are you listening to me? He doesn't change. He's constant forever. I'm saying this, some of you can begin to relate almost immediately. That the day you became born again, you were excited with all the things you heard. Were you? Can you remember all the revelations you heard that got you excited? But as time went by, some of us became disappointed. We became disappointed. We are wondering if God meant everything he has said before. How many of you remember five prophecies that were spoken over you? Five. Can you remember five? You can say it. Or you have it written in your jotters. You have them written? All of you? Okay, one person will stand up and tell me five of the prophecies. So, while hands were being laid upon you. Can you remember? He even said he should remember even the words his mom spoke over him. And through these words, he should wage a good warfare. He should fight with the words. Hallelujah. Are you all here? So you see, the moment you, now, like I just read in Deuteronomy 1:8, when you got born again, we said you are born of God, you've overcome the world. The greater one lives in you. You can't live in sin no more. Because the seed of God is in you. Was that not what we told you? And some went and sin still was fighting them. You see? They are now wondering, I don't think that's part of the Bible is for me. The way sin is dealing with me, the way I'm subjected to infirmity, to the spirit of this, that, I don't think, you know. And that's what Satan wants. They begin to condemn themselves. They begin to disqualify themselves. Like Adam did. Bible says he ran away from the voice of God and hid himself at the back of a tree. He said, I'm naked. God then said, who what? Told you you are naked. He now knew where Satan speaks from. You know, why God tells you not to disobey is because if you disobey, Satan will lie to you about yourself. The greatest crisis on the earth is identity crisis. He ate from the wrong tree and God knew the Sudoku, that if you break the edge, the serpent will what? Strike. And so when Satan broke the edge by disobeying God, Satan lied to Adam about himself. He said, now you are worthless, now you are useless. That's what it means for Adam to be naked. And Adam felt naked, meaning Adam felt worthless and useless about himself. And he ran away from the presence of God. And God said, who told you? Now God knew. He knew the point through at which Satan can lie to man. That point is disobedience. He said, have you done what I told you not to do? He said, yes. So no wonder Satan lied to you. And that's what the Bible said to us in the book of 1 John. It said, if your heart condemns you, it said, God is what? Greater than your heart. Because a lot of times your heart can condemn you. And we can see from Adam's experience that when your heart condemns you a lot of times because you disobeyed God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you disobey God, your heart begins to what? Condemn you. But because of what Jesus has done, God is saying that when your heart condemns you, understand that God is what? Greater than your heart. Are we together? So, in summary now, don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God in your heart. Are you listening? That's how you become a champion. The word of God is the light of life, not your heart. You know, some people live at the mercy of anything that just flows from their heart. They said, my heart is telling me that B is the answer. How many of you have been there and you still failed it? Meaning you were deceived by your heart. My heart is telling me that he's a good guy. And he still broke your heart. You see that? My heart is telling me that she will make a good wife. And now you are very disappointed. God does not want you to walk with assumptions. He wants you to walk with clarity. Are we together? And that's why he calls himself the truth. And John 1 calls him life. And that the life translates as what? Light. And there's no way you walk in confusion if you walk in light. If you are in light, you will never walk in confusion. So let me put it like this. If you walk with God, you can never walk in error, in confusion. The Bible says God is a light so shining. And in him there is no what? Alright, so like what I was saying, I remember Paul in scriptures. Maybe you get that scripture from me. It was not part of my plan. The Bible says, an effectual door has been opened to me. He said, but there are what? Many adversaries. I saw a practicality of that scripture as a child. As I grew up, I mean, in my 100 level second semester. I guess, yes. I finished praying one night. Night. Early in the morning, yes. Very early in the morning. So, before I prayed or after I prayed? I prayed in the night, okay, I slept off. Then very close to when I will pray in the morning, like 4, 5 a.m., I had a vision. Many demons were looking at me with angry faces. Many demons. True life story. And I got so scared that I stood up and opened my eyes. I couldn't sleep because I felt like they were in the room with me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, there were so many, I couldn't see their numbers. I couldn't see the end of their numbers. And I said to myself, God, if all these kind of demons are for one person, how do I survive? Now, that's what Paul just meant. He said, an effectual door has been what? But Satan will deploy all of his arsenals just to make sure that you go down. You know, most of you don't know how important you are. You are very important to God. Are you listening to me? Let me show you how important you were. If you are the only one on the earth, God would have still died for you. You are that important. Satan will deploy all of hell's arsenal to make sure that you don't fulfill destiny. Paul said there's an effectual door open unto me, but there are many what? Advance. Many. He had tough times.
he will see human beings speaking, he knew that they were under the influence of a devil. He will see government officials rising against him preaching. Other Christian brethren rising against him. He just knew that these guys were under the influence of Satan. And they didn't know. Because he knew his assignment. But that's not what is supposed to determine our emotion. Even though there are many adversaries. More importantly, what God has for us is plentier than what Satan has against us. In fact, the Bible puts it as like this. He said, if God be for you, he said, who can what be against you? So, if I told you that Satan has a love whatsoever in his arsenal, we don't really major on that. That's not something to sit down and be thinking. You know, some people are trying to understand the name of demons and rest. You're wasting your time. Alright? Now, there's a realm where demons cannot operate. It's your realm. I know you're waiting for me to say it's God's realm. Now, God's realm is your realm. The Bible says you are seated with what? Christ. Where? In heavenly places. Simple. Simple. You know, I was teaching about the law of faith to leaders last Saturday. I say it's a law. Who can define a law for me here? Anybody? What is a law? This one, law student will not escape. The laws themselves. Law student. Just stand up. We have entered your field. What a law. We don't have law students here. I get it. Tell us. The law is what? A rule. Please bring microphone and give this man. Let me hear him very well.
Alright, so law is like a rule, yeah, with elements of coercion meant to like guide how people move in society. It controls and regulates people
Society. Hallelujah. That's true. Law in terms of law, you know, definition. I know some of you are wondering, the English are quite ambiguous. Blessings. Who else wants to define for us a law according to sciences? I'll prefer that divination. Any scientists here? Do we have Isaac Newton's brothers in this place? Albert Einstein's sisters in this place? Don't fall our hand now. Okay. Nobody wants to bear the name Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton this evening. So I will define the law in terms of sport, and I will define the law in terms of sciences. Alright? You know, when you say the law now, it has different angles of definition. Lawyers define it in a certain way, right? People in sport define it in a certain way, isn't it? Remember what we did here last week about mastery. That if a man desires mastery, yet not crown, it is because he has not strived how? Lawfully. Then we use relay race, right? And that if, for instance, it's not that Buhari's this thing. If, for instance, now somebody is coming from there and he wants to give you the baton, and you didn't collect the baton and you are running, what if you force everybody to reach the finishing line? Did you win? Because you were not holding what? The baton. The Bible said if a man desires mastery yet not striving what? He will never enter into it. So if you desire mastery, you must strive how? Lawfully. So what is the law? Set of rules, right? That make for set of rules that determine an experience. The experience can always be a loop. It will always happen if those set of rules are always applied. isn't it? Huh? If you mix water and dye, what do you get? If you mix it tomorrow again, what would you get? If you mix it next tomorrow, what will you get? Always. Isn't it? If you don't study, what will happen? If you don't study in secondary school, what will happen? If you don't study in university, what will happen? If you study in primary school, what will happen? Study in secondary school, what will happen? Don't study in university, what will happen? Simple. As long as you don't apply the right rule, you will not see the right result. The right laws, you will not see the right result. Isn't it? Huh? So that's how it is. If a man desires mastery, he must strive what? Lawfully. So there's what we call the law of faith. You must apply the right things the right way. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Take for instance, faith doesn't just fly anyhow. The disciples say, teach us how to pray. Meaning you can pray wrongly. You can pray amiss. Teach us how to pray. See, this law of faith is not... Now, God started it. God originated it. Alright? And it's a law. It doesn't even need God's permission to find expression. Because it's a law already. Yeah, I know you're wondering what I'm saying. Just like working hard now. If the Bible said, if a man is diligent in his work, he will stand before what? As long as you are diligent, you don't need God's permission. You will stand before kings. It's a law. Whether you are an unbeliever, you stand before kings. It's a law. If you are diligent. Is that not what the Bible said? If you are not diligent, you will not stand before kings. If you ever stand before them, they will be instructing you to clean the house and the rest. Isn't it? The woman with the issue of blood said to her, law was fulfilled. The law of faith was fulfilled in her heart. She didn't have any agreement with Jesus before she received her healing. For every time people were healed, what would Jesus say? Your word has what? Made you whole. You see, Jesus was not in the agreement before they received their healing. They applied the law of faith. And they had the result. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Simple and short. Hallelujah. Whether we like it or not, the children of Israel were not perfected. They were not supposed to enter the promised land. They had some issues with themselves. They had some issues. It was already a law that it must be the right people that will get into the promised land. It's nothing about emotions. I think we get what I'm trying to say. It's nothing. It was nothing. I mean, God proved himself several times. One of those days that he was conversing with Moses on the mountain, what happened to the children of Israel? They had a weak leader, Aaron. A weak leader. He said, give us what we want. He gave them what they wanted. A strong leader does not give the people what they want. A strong leader gives the people what they need. What they need. What they need. What they need. Not what they want. Are you listening to me? That's what a strong leader does. Not what they want, but what they need. Are you here? Aaron was a weak leader. And that's why he was not the first in command. He gave the people what they needed. What they wanted. And he killed the people that way. He destroyed the people that way. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you ever been a leader that you felt like the leader in charge was not considerate with the people? Listen, say, how many of you have been there? You just felt like the leader in charge does not know what is wrong with these people. Some of them are in pains. Some of them are suffering. Anybody has been there before? You are like Aaron. I know you didn't see that coming. Next time, raise your hand with caution. This my leader. Doesn't he know that these people are suffering? That was what Aaron was thinking. Because Moses didn't care. And people felt like Moses did not care in the physical. Because he did not show. He did not show it. He was not like, hey, yeah. But he even cared better than even Aaron. Let me show you a part of scriptures.
in the book of Numbers. Numbers 11:11. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight?" Listen to him carefully. Number one, why have you afflicted your servant? We would think it's an infirmity, but follow carefully. Is it specific? Moses called this thing an infirmity. He spoke like it was an infirmity, sorry. And why have I not found favor? He said, for what God has done to him, he did not find favor in God's eye. God's side, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me. Now listen carefully. Moses is like, God, for telling me to pastor these people, I'm not okay. You don't like me. I did not find favor in your sight. I don't have favor. You have afflicted me. You see that? So Moses was living with the burden of the people all his life. And yet he was criticized. That was why the angel of the Lord got offended and struck his sister with leprosy. As I say, his sister Miriam is hiding her face. It's not you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? Is it me that gave birth to them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child, to the land which you swore to their fathers. Moses did not say our father, say their fathers. He was part of them, he said their fathers. every leader thinks like this once in a while. Most leaders are like, what is wrong? Is it me? Next part of scripture. Alright. Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. God say, let's go. Instead of to meet God, they met pastor. Let me not say some experience. Verse 14. I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Moses got tired. Alright, so what I'm trying to show you is that Moses had care for the people. He was carrying their burden. But Aaron felt like Moses did not understand the people. And so when Moses left them for a while, they say, Aaron, best leader. You see, there are reasons why we like you more than Moses. You listen to us. Aaron, our leader. Aaron, please allow us play worldly music. They will not say any erotic things. We'll just be dancing to the beat. Even if they say bad things, just the beat. Aaron said, okay, go to the back of church. Just dance for a while before you come inside. You know what that part of scripture means? They went and created idols. And we're worshiping. They proved to God that they were not matured. They proved to God that they deserve to be in the wilderness. Not the promised land. You know, the job of the wilderness is more like an algorithm through which God will remove everything from Egypt in their life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The reason why they were still in the wilderness is because God wanted to walk on them before he gets them to the promised land. Alright? So it was justified. When they began to worship idols, it was justified that they needed to spend more time in the wilderness. Because some things they had learned in Egypt had not left them. How many of you ever got offended? You got offended so much, you made up your mind, you're not going to serve God in a particular department again. You're not going to do it with the whole of your heart. You got offended. I mean, what really happened to hurt you so much? So I've had enough.
You see, this character you just exhibited is a proof that you are supposed to be in the wilderness. It's a proof that you are not supposed to enter the promised land. I've been serving God for all these years. All these years. I've traded almost everything for God. And I still get treated like this. Like this. See how they spoke to me as if they don't know me. See how he spoke. See how he shouted on me. I've had enough. I'm leaving. You see, what you just showed, we thought you had grown, but you are a child. You proved before God and before people that you are not grown. Because love is what? Love is what? Love keep no record of what? And he that loves has passed from what? So even if you are shouting, I was dead with Christ. I was buried with Christ. Now we just saw that you were not truly buried. When they were burying people, you escaped. Because if you were truly buried with Christ, you would have woken up a new man. You thought you were a new person, but see what you just did. See. You got offended. Some of you insult people in their hearts. You know that kind of thing that you do in your heart is another name is not sin, it's iniquity. Yes, no, study your Bible. What did God say about Satan? He said, when iniquity was found in thy heart, is a deeper stain of sin. It's better you show it. These ones, they don't show it. They are killing you in their heart. Look at the leader. Say, this idiot. He thinks we don't know why he always uses his wife. Or uses our chair, or Kira, or Sonny. Or they are a clique. You must be in their clique to be used. Useless leaders. Now you never said it. It's in your heart. Then while service is going, they say, we're not grateful heart. You don't have that mind. You lift your hand. We lift our hands to proclaim your reign. With the iniquity in your heart. Then after a while, you are saying things are not working for me. I've been serving God for 3 years now. Why me? God, why me? Why? See my friends. See this boy that came to church yesterday. He's giving a testimony that he now owns a car. Look at me. God. Now where is that GCMI? Where is the evidence? Instead of looking at your life now, the next thing is the word of God does not work. If it's working, look at my life. But if you look at other people, it's working. It's working. But because, you know, the Bible says, little what has the potency to spoil the whole vine. Little. This small thing you are not dealing with now can destroy your faith. The Bible speaks of how the love of money has made a lot of people cold in the faith. The love of money. People that can look at church like this and debunk church because of one money they want to go and make. Are people like that? That God does not mean anything to them. You know, some people, when you look at them, they have not realized why they are suffering. They say, post a flyer for church. Post a part of scripture. In fact, when last did you post a part of the Bible? They will post all their business, earring, jewelry, perfume, hair, shoe. There's nothing they don't sell. Nothing they don't sell in this world. Be it what they are selling. Eyelashes, they sell. Nose ring, they don't wear it, but they sell it. There's nothing they are not selling. And if you look at their WhatsApp status, 59, small, 59. They are at the end. You now see church flyer, you are invited. They don't even care whether you come or not. From that flyer, which person in this world will look at that flyer and feel ignited to come to church? God's business is the last thing in their hearts. You know, I had a young man one time always complain that God is not faithful. That he prays, he does this thing, but God doesn't used to hear him. Pastor, how long will you be in the wilderness before you enter the promised land? I was wondering, who is in the wilderness asking when long, how long? As long as you are asking how long, you will be long in the wilderness. See, Pastor, I prayed. You told us to be praying. Pastor, I've prayed for 2 months now. I have not still entered. I said, what do you mean by entering one day? He said, when things will be better for me and my family. You see, it's so funny that people think entering the wilderness, entering the promised land is that they have car. And now they have so much money they can help the poor and help their family. And that their father is driving one GLK. Oh, we have entered the promised land. With little superpower on their inside, they can't heal the sick. Why will you not think that promised land is healing the sick, raising the dead? Walking in holiness. Vet yourself. If you are really in the promised land, when you see a girl, do you turn 360? As long as you are turning your neck, you are not in the promised land. Let's vet now. How many of you will check your phones as young men and you are not chatting with 3 girls at the same time? I know you people are not here. You are not in the promised land. Should in case you are a member. I know those kind of people never come to church. They are always in the world. Sometimes you carry some Christian brothers. They will lead worship in church. Check their phone. You see this discipline. Discipline. Not many people have it. The discipline to see a fine girl and not chat with her. Allow her. They suggest her. Allow her pass. In fact, they say, suggested her for a remove the suggestion and keep on moving. There are many people that cannot do that. Hey, that's how to be adding. They don't even know which one they want to marry. They are trying their luck. For all, as long as you are fine, they must talk to you. And there are some brothers that have stopped talking to girls because they ask them out, they refuse. The girls have become their enemy. All the girls notice that they are liking them. They now behave in a way so that the brothers do not like them. Became their enemies. Some brothers want to toast every girl. You know, there are some girls now that have stopped smiling because they smile and say, she like me. She smiled to me. I tell you, see, she like me. See, I should go smile for me. Same thing for ladies. If we check your phone, what do we see? Very basic. As your chat. When we check you and that your best friend, what do you people talk about? I see one idiot for school today. It toast me. One mumu. Promised land is far from you. You get one fool, I want chop your money. I'll chop the mogul money. One useless guy like that. Sabi disturb me, too like woman. You see me, they disturb me. I want chop your money. I'll collect like 200k for a hand before I leave her. Hallelujah. We are touching everything. Are you listening to me? Touching it. These are things that prove. They are small, small things, but they have the potency to spoil the whole vine. Little foxes that can what? Spoil the whole vine. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Little, little things. Some again is offense. You say, me, I know if I don't talk up, my mind will go rest. I'm a simple person. Though. If you do me, I will hit you once and I will forget her. And that's how God creates me. I must, if I don't tell you, I don't keep person for mine, no. But if you do me something, I must tell you that time, I will give you back as they hurt. But when I'm done, you will leave my heart. That's what I do. Look at how they put it. That's what I do. Who did God create like that? There's a wrong characteristic working on your inside. Wrong attribute. Remove it. Destroy it. You see that speed of talking? I told my wife one time, I said, nobody said women should like talk. Nobody said it. God did not create women with the ability to talk. Anyhow. Amebo. You do amebo sometimes, there's no regulator. It gets to a point you begin to talk about people you are not supposed to talk about. People that should be a blessing, you are not talking about them. You can't talk against somebody and be and God. God does not pour blessing from heaven. He blesses people through other people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's a law. Some people have used their mouth to destroy their life. Their mouth. What did David tell one of his soldiers? Even though Saul was a bad ruler. But David knew the value of the anointed. He was going to say, touch not my anointed and do my what? Servant, prophet, no harm. The servant came back and said, I have killed Saul, your enemy. He said, you did what? He said, I have killed him. Now, we can disagree with false doctrines. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We can disagree, but the Bible never teaches us to insult people who he has anointed because they say things that are wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I disagree with the pastor that what he said is wrong, but I don't have the right to say, pastor, you are a stupid man. That, you are joking with fire. Are you listening to me? Because even though he is currently wrong, he had not always been wrong. Listen carefully, that's number one. Number two, when he repents, he doesn't need your permission to repent. At the time you are insulting him, probably has even repented. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Nobody needs the approval of the whole world to repent. Understand this. And so when he came to David, he said, I've killed your enemy. David said, your mouth today has testified against your life. He removed the sword of the soldier and plucked off his head. So some people, their talk has testified against their life. It was the same David that said, there are some matters too high for me to talk about. Are you all listening to me? Very important. Look at the children of Israel. Remove them from Egypt. Go to the promised land because of some hungers. And do you know something interesting here? The Bible said they were having all forms of supernatural activities. Their clothes did not fade for 40 years. Clothes did not fade for how many years? That's supernatural. Anytime they wanted food, they didn't cook. It fell from heaven. Every time, imagine that food falls from heaven. In Nigeria today. You know, they go to a point. Listen, they go to a point. They told God, we've had enough of this food. We want another one. Every time this one. They forgot that it was falling from heaven. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They were not grateful to God that was a supernatural experience. See, finish entered. That's why I see somebody praying in tongues. Remember when you wanted to pray in tongues? How you prayed. Then one day the Holy Ghost came upon you. But now you can pray in tongues. When you are done, you insult. Jabaka idiot. Come and sit here. You feel goosebumps when you pray in the spirit. Yeah, you can still talk anyhow. Remember the first day? Can you remember the first day all of you seated here? When the Holy Ghost came upon you and you fell to the ground, you cried your life out. What happened? What happened that now he will come upon you and instead of crying your life, you'll be offended with the Holy Ghost? Have you grown so much and had so much resistance that you can resist the presence now? It's not the presence. It's not like you have grown. You have died so much. That's why you are resisting him. The Bible says he resists what? The proud. You see that? So the proof that you are dead is that you are not aware. His presence does not, you know, walk on you the way it used to walk on you before. You know, one time I was sitting like this. I asked some people. I said, can you remember when you cry anytime you come before the presence of God? You kneel down. And some people were looking at me. They said, yes, I used to remember. I said, what has changed? He said, I don't just know what happened to me. Something happened over time. You got a lot of things that limited the presence of God, the flow of the presence of God in your life. Those things are not necessary. Check your life. Paul said, check yourself to see that you are within the faith. Once in a while, you got to check yourself. You know, sometimes when God tells you, he's in wrong company. You see it with Paul. When he tells the people, he said, do not get close to people who don't value our traditions. Who don't value our traditions. Because whatever we are doing in church today is culturing, creating an environment to culture the people into God's standard of people. a God standard of people. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 that we should perfect the saints. So, through the Holy Spirit, the man of God creates systems that will culture the people to be perfected the way God entails. Are you listening to me? So, when Paul said, avoid people who don't want to submit themselves to our culture, he's saying, avoid people that will not submit themselves to the dealings of the Holy Spirit that will help them get cultured to the point that they'll be perfected. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is what I'm trying to say. You are growing. You are doing well. Now, somebody who has misbehaved, for instance, maybe left church or something, you know, is still your friend. Person. Because you see, loyalty will cost you, even friendship. I hope you know that. Loyalty, it will cost you. Imagine that your friend is not born again and you are born again. Firstly, if you cannot win that soul, avoid the soul. If you cannot win the soul, what will you do? Avoid the soul. Some of you right now, you just got born again 2 months ago. You want to go and win a chain smoker. You were smoking so much before, and now you got born again over just 2 months ago, and you think your assignment is to win that person that led you into chain smoking. Just speak once and twice. If the person does not listen, leave the person and be praying for him from afar. Not that anytime you want to speak to the person, he will tell you, oh boy, I did bush. Then you go there and sit down and say, see, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Stop the bars. Stop. You say, my brother, take first. Talk to me. You will be so shocked. One day you go there emotional. Satan can arrange it in a way that you are going to preach. You now hit your leg and your phone screen fell to the ground, broke. And as you fell to the ground, somebody took his hand in your pocket and removed your 5K. And when you are close to the place where they smoke, you just realize your 5K is not there. And your phone screen is already broken. You are not grown to a point that you have tenacity against that experience. And as you sit down, you say, my guy, Kai, instead of telling him about Jesus, something happened to me. I said, come here. See my screen just break. First, God took a hand, come on my 5K. Kai, I'm just emotionally down. Say, my guy, calm down. Take. Now, man, you be. Then you collect. Oh, wow, I miss this life. Will you be able to say repent? Satan knows how to organize things. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? The Bible says you should avoid. Oh, let's say, for instance, you are doing committing fornication with your sister. You now become born again. You don't think your assignment is to go and capture that sister you were doing fornication with. That's the call. So now, every time you finish service, you are going to her house. Sister Vero, I have changed you. Thus says the Lord. Blah, blah, blah. She said, there's food. Or should I give you? Yes. You eat food. I hope you heard what I said to you. God bless you. First day, nothing. See, they are creating an environment. They are culturing you. One day you eat, you say, you don't tell, my God. You know, unbutton your shirt and relax. And when they come to tell us all these stories, they say, sir, and that's the last thing I remembered. That's the part I'm always waiting for when I hear people say, ah, Pastor, I'm always waiting. They always say, and that's the last thing I remember. They remember everything. Have you ever been there that the day you just had a problem, then your ex messaged you? How many of you have been there? Anytime you want to be serious with God, your ex used to message you. I know you will not raise your hand because you don't have ex, all of you. Okay. You are new Christians in Christ. It's hard to teach this thing then, since there's nobody like that. But let me just imagine that I'm speaking to shadows. You know? I know it happens. The day you make up your mind, they lay hands on you. Take! Oh, power of God hit you. You just go back home. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm a changed person. Your ass will just see your status. Change Guinea. Hello, Vero. Been a while. I miss us. Where this nonsense they come from? And he said, I want to have a video call. Is this to be Satan? Didn't you read the Bible? When Jesus fasted, what happened? Satan came. When somebody finished fasting, Pastor, when I fasted, tried for 7 days, then the spirit of lust. I know you understand what I'm saying. We are many, but let's pretend we are few. I've heard people who said they fasted, and when they were done fasting, they ended it with pornography. They missed it so much, you know, and when they fasted, they were torturing themselves to like it so much. Boom. And they're like, God, what is this? What is this? Because most of the time when people fast like that, it's a hunger strike. Hunger strike. You know, fasting entails you are staying with the word of God. You are missing something and replacing it with the word of God. But you see some people just... And listen, let me share this with you. You don't fast effectively by... You know, well, I've said a lot of things. Let me just share these basic things with you. You don't fast... Your effective fasting is not abstaining from food. Then you abstain when it's 6 o'clock. Vero, prepare my food. I'm almost done. I'll be fast. Then 6 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus. That's hunger strike. That's why the hunger nearly killed you. You know, some people, when you say fasting, the first thing they begin to think is the situation. They'll imagine themselves like they're fasting already. So, on Friday, we're going to have 6 to 6. Hey. 6 to 6. 6 in the morning. 6. Hey. You see, the feeling of the hunger begins to disturb them immediately. That's what controls them. Not the word of God. But if you carry the word, you are meditating, my God, he has said, so that we may boldly say, glory to God, hallelujah. As you are thanking God, you just have this feeling to fast. You just feel you should fast. That's no hunger strike. Glory to God. I'm not going to eat. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can stay a whole day because you are thinking the word. You are thinking the word of God. Are you listening to me? You are thinking the word. Then when you come to the office, you open your Bible, you are studying. Glory to God. Feasting on the word. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's not even food you need to avoid. It's your phone. It's your phone. The WhatsApp messages are too much. You need to close it and think about yourself. Stay with the word of God so much. Sometimes, what you need to avoid is going to your shop. Yes. I know it's not a popular thing to say. Anytime you go, the sales guy has scattered everything. Why is it that I'm saying one thing every time? Ngozi, you are not hearing. If I sack you now, they'll say I'm wicked. Sometimes you just need to avoid Ngozi and stay with the word. As a Holy Spirit, my business grows. Oh, Libra Hazza Bagazi Yabasuba. As you are praying in tongues, God is touching Ngozi. You go the next day, Ngozi, I've done everything she's supposed to do. I read, Ngozi, who came to this shop? Nobody says, I just told myself that I've been suffering you. And from today, I want to be doing what is right. Eh? Now, don't do like an unbeliever. Say, Ngozi, are you okay? Believe it. You know, some people who pray for people, when they change, they'll start doing, I better go. Johnson, now you be this. When you're done pretending, tell me. And you know, some people don't even believe their siblings can repent. There are some of you, as I'm talking now, you know that there's one of your siblings that you know will never repent. You know. And that's why the person will never repent. You see? I got some of you. When last did you pray for that brother? You carried, you said, but Jeremiah in the name of Jesus. It will make you laugh. Jeremiah repent. God. That idiot can never repent in his life. You know that brother too well. You know him. You don't know God's word. If you know God's word, if you know the power of God's word, you will pray for Jeremiah. The word of God is sharper than what? A two-edged sword. It can go into any situation and change it. Any situation. I pray for everybody. I pray my whole family to become born again, and yeah, there was a time I was a pastor. Some of them were not living a godly life. We talk, tire. You don't know. In fact, sometimes there's one a time I said, you don't know your brother is a pastor. You want to disgrace me. It was not about them. It was about my identity. I said, what will people be saying? Why are you doing like this? I'm a pastor. See what you are putting on your social media. My God! Then God now says, so it's about you. It's not about me. I say, hey. As if it's about me, preach me. What? I began to preach. I said, is everything okay? Why are you preaching for me? I said, I want to preach for you. Can I not preach for you? Especially one. You know, some of you are so familiar with your siblings that when you won't speak English, there's a problem. Is there anybody like that here? English. Say, Cynthia, you know, we are not supposed to be living like we are enemies. Say, I beg you, with Almighty God, speak broken. When this rubbish starts, are you all listening to me? We have to change certain cultures. Don't get offended. You have all it takes not to be offended. As you get offended, Satan will throw offense, destroy your life. It's small, but it has powerful effect. Offense, very small, powerful effects. Very small. You just get offended. I'm not doing again. That small offense, see where it has landed you. You are saying, I'm not doing again. What are you not doing again? The point I want to make before we go is that people, you know, the Bible says you cannot serve God and Mammon. Many people don't understand that. Imagine children of Israel now saying that where we are coming from is a land flowing with milk and honey. They negated God, negated Him completely because of hunger. And not because God will not do it, but they felt like God used to do it late. At a point, God now said that they are testing me. Let me show you a few scriptures where God complained to them. Psalm 78 from verse 41. From verse 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Next part of scripture. See how God got provoked by them. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the word Holy One. So their misbehavior, what did he do? He limited God. You see, your misbehavior can what? Limit God to walk in your life for your good. Next part of scripture. He said they did not remember His power. Now, observe something. He said they limited the Holy One of Israel. Then the next partner said, because they did not remember His power. Sometimes the reason why you're ungrateful and act foolishly is because you forget the help you had received before. Yes. They had forgotten that God gave them cloud by day. He helped them to have fire by night. He helped them. He made sure that their clothes were not faded for over 40 years. He made sure that they had manna from heaven. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Water from the rock. They forgot in a hurry. So that when the next thing did not come, the next need was not fulfilled yet, they became very angry. They were grumbling. He said they did not remember His power. That's why they limited Him. The day when He redeemed them from the enemy, they even forgot what He did. Imagine how He made sure that Egypt was subjected because of His children. Parted the Red Sea. Made sure they passed the Red Sea. They forgot because of hunger. Can you imagine? People forget in a hurry. That's why I love that hymn that says, count your blessing name them one by one. It will surprise you. How God protected you from death. Healed you. Gave you a miracle. Now you've forgotten so much that because of food to eat, now you are angry at God. You are angry at His work. Hallelujah to Jesus. The same God that helped you, you are angry. If you had died, will you complain about eating? Not eating, I mean. Will you?
how you came out and God healed your mom, God healed your dad, God did something unique. And the next thing that didn't happen, you got offended. You got offended. Let me say this thing. You see, many people say some kind of funny things. And I laugh at them because they truly don't understand the scriptures. The children of Israel were in the wilderness. The Egyptians were in Egypt. Do you know that the Egyptians were not praying? They were not trusting God for water to drink. They were not trusting God for food to eat. They were not trusting God for anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They had all of those things. Now, have you heard preachers that said there are some people that don't pay their tithes, but they have their needs met? Have you heard people talk like that? More like in Egypt. They had no need for anything. But the children of Israel had to trust God for virtually everything. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to hit a point with this. They trusted God for virtually everything. At a point, God made a statement, the same statement that Jesus quoted in Matthew. Jesus said, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. But by what? It was quoted through Moses. God told Moses, he said, I want my children to be trained by not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth. Meaning that they should know that since I have said they will never be hungry. Whether they don't see food, they should know bread will come somehow. Why he made sure food came from heaven is to prove to them that I am El Shaddai, the multi-breasted one. He wanted to train them to trust him in any situation. That you are in a cave. You had no matches. You have no light. You have nothing. You are seeing a lion before you, a bear behind you, a serpent beside you, a wolf beside you. Yet you say, God will save me. He wanted them to learn to trust him alone. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That they should not live by bread alone. Meaning they should not look at their kitchen and see the foodstuff and say, I'm excited. I can stay till next year. They should understand that the reason why they can stay till next year is because of God, who is their source, who is their provider. But they never understood that. That's why sometimes you see big men, they get into situations that they've put all their hope on money. They now enter into situations that money cannot even solve. That's not what God wants for his covenant people. There are some things money cannot give you. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Now, sciences may say you did not fulfill some laws, which is true sometimes. You probably did not eat well, or you ate anyhow, and that's why now you have cancer, that's why now you have ulcer, and etc. And we're not saying we were faithful. Probably we truly were not faithful. Does that mean you should die? Do you know God can deliver you from that sickness? But I tell you, the rich, some without the knowledge of God, don't know that God can do that. They would rather use their money. I've seen rich people that they cut off their breasts because of cancer. Yes, I've seen. They have no breasts. I've seen people who don't have the money they have live free from cancer. After they had breast cancer, God healed them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And they are today. Which one now will you prefer? To live without breast or to live with your breast as a woman, for instance? See what God did. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, I'm not saying money is not important. Don't get me wrong. Money is very important. What I'm trying to say is that you can have the money and have the anointing all together. And that's what God wants. That's the blessing. He said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. One of the things the blessing will do is to produce riches. But beyond riches, the Bible said it maketh rich and add no sorrow. Meaning if you blessed man, so will not be added in your life. You will make sure it's not added. God will give you the technology. Are you listening to me? Everything that it will take for soul not to be added in your life. What is that? The anointing. He said, because of the anointing, the yoke is what? Broken. You see that? I know you can have money without the anointing, and you can have money with the anointing. The difference is that the money that comes with the anointing comes with peace. Because the Bible said that anoint my head with what? And my cup what? No trouble. Are you all listening to me tonight? No trouble. That anoint my head with oil. He said my cup run it over. That's God's kind of prosperity. Nobody should lie to you that God does not give money, he gives.
He gives with a lot of peace. We see little true scriptures, 5,000. See the many that was remaining. Hallelujah, Jesus. Many left to us. I told you people that the proof that God entered a situation is what? If God was in a situation, we must see the overflow. We must see the overflow. You see, when you are blessing conscious, things around you don't even die. Look at Jacob. They gave him sheep that are as good as dead. He made them alive. They became the best in the city. Because things don't die around you. Many people are not blessing conscious. Even many of you seated here, even some of you pastors, most of you leaders, you are not blessing conscious. It's problem conscious. Problem conscious. It hits you here, you turn here. It hits you there, you turn here. It hits you. Your emotions are not gathered. You don't have peace beyond understanding. Your peace that you have is based on understanding per time. We understand that because you now have that money, you have peace. The money leaves, there's no peace. What God has given us is peace, not as the world gives peace. That you heard a very bad news, you can still smile. Because you know everything is well. Are you all listening to me? And why you have to have a blessing consciousness is that, you see, the Bible said the wisdom of the poor, no one knows it. You see, this gospel, the wisdom of God needs to get to the nations of the earth. And God needs us to have money so that we can facilitate this reality, this dream. So making sure that this gospel gets to everybody upon the face of the earth. Without money, we'll be limited. And God doesn't want the gospel limited. Are you listening to me? He doesn't. That's the only use of money. To make sure the gospel gets to everybody. And that is why I'm not among those preachers that think money is not important. Money is important, but money is not the most important. He said, dear beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Meaning you can never prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul, else it will destroy you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You should grow in God in your soul before you have the cash. That's the algorithm. If not, the Bible said the prosperity of a foolish man, what? Destroys him. But you are blessed. You are not just having, you are not just longing for money. And that's what God wanted for the children of Israel. He wanted them to trust him in any situation. Learn to trust him. That's why anytime, look at how he was displaying his power in Moses. He wanted to show Moses. The first introduction, they missed it. He told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. Meaning in any situation, what you want me to be, I'll be it. He just wanted Moses to go with the flow. Moses was standing before the Red Sea. He said, God, we are finished. He forgot what God told him. The introduction was what? I am that I am. He said, Moses, you are not in trouble. He said, sir, see them coming. They are coming. And we are running. They will kill us. He said, Moses, calm down. What are you holding? He said, just my stick. Just my stick. He said, no. Stretch it. It is useful. I have chained that stick to a rod. Stretch it. And as Moses did, what happened? The Red Sea parted. What a technology. In less than how many minutes? The Bible said they walked on the Red Sea as if it was dry ground. Dry ground. They did not go like this. They climbed. They were the first supernatural bridge. Everybody like that. The bridge was collapsed. Collapsed in a few minutes. God did it. When they walked through it, God scattered it. Are you listening to me? God did it. When they walked through it, what happened? Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me use this mic rather. Amen. In a few moments, it was scattered. In a few moments, it was created. In a few moments, scattered. Never seen that kind of technology. What was the second miracle? The second miracle was that when they needed food, it came from heaven. And the food doesn't have name. It was a question that was the name of the food. Manna. What is this? Hallelujah.
And they enjoyed it. They loved the food so much, they stored it. God said, don't store it. There's so much for tomorrow. He was teaching them faith. They stored it. It became worms. You see that? They've not learned to follow God with the whole of their heart. There was no water to drink. They were thirsty. And God said, Moses, just hit that rock and water will come out. I mean, it's just as if God is just walking with Moses. There's no water. Maybe God would have said, just do your leg like this on the ground, water will come. I mean, he's the God of all things. I don't know if you are getting what I'm trying to say. What's the connection between just touch that rock? What is there? Water came out. The people drank. Anything they wanted, he was their present help in times of need. He just wanted the people that would learn to trust him. And I tell you, that's what God wants for today. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. You see, if you are a student, expect the best grades. Yes, if you are done with school and are working, don't limit yourself. Are you listening to me? Yes, expect the best job. Say, I deserve the best. Yes, close your eyes. Say, I deserve the best. Yes, I deserve the best. Yes, I deserve the best. In the name of Jesus. What is your greatest fear? Forget about it. It doesn't exist. Perfect love casts out fear. You are enough. You are qualified. You are accepted in the beloved. Thinking small does not save the world. It is useless. It cannot save the world. Nobody gets into your light or gets revealed by your light when you think small. Your light needs to shine. It needs to shine. Mine shines so much, that's why you are seated here. And it's still shining. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If I played small, you will not be sitting here. Don't play small. You are the light of the world. A city set where you cannot be hidden. Go back. You know, I was watching a movie lately. I was sharing with my wife. I like to watch movies on leadership once in a while. The young man who harnessed the wind. How many of you saw that movie? The young man, the man or the boy who harnessed the wind. How many of you have seen that movie? Raise your hand. I'm surprised. I thought it's a very popular movie. Wave. I get that you've watched the movie. So apart from you, all of you have not watched the movie. How many of you have watched Marlin? You are hiding your hands. You don't want to say the truth. If you have watched Marlin, wave your hands. Let Jesus not be angry. Okay, but you didn't watch the young man who harnessed the wind. The story of a young boy, is it Uganda? They were having a tough situation in their village. The government against them. Government was against them. When the leader spoke against the government, they killed the leader. Said, give us water, give us food, blah, blah, blah. They killed the leader. He was in a tough situation. The sister ran away from the house with the teacher of her school, you know, because there was no food in the village. They came and stole the last grain in his mother's kitchen. Nothing was remaining. And the small one that remained, they now said they'll be eating once in a day. The villagers were dying from hunger. And the young boy was telling himself, he said, I can create a system that will make sure rain will come in dry season. And give us, make sure our plants, our seeds grow and give us food to eat. He was just talking to himself. And when he brought it to his father, he said the father should give him his only bicycle. That he wants to use the bicycle to create that. The father said, how will you use the bicycle? He said, I will scatter the bicycle and I will use some part of the bicycle. The father now said, you are stupid. My only bicycle that I use to move around. You are stupid. He said, come on, join me and hit the ridge. He said, daddy, I can do it. You know, if you want to be great, there must be a little touch of madness. Just small. Just very small. And one day the mothers agreed. They carried the bicycle, scattered it. The father's heart was just beating. Scattered, he was wondering, what if this thing does not work? Went to the school, told the teacher to give him his bicycle to remove a part of the bicycle. He removed it. I remember one of the things we were studying about dynamo in physics. Hallelujah to Jesus. At the end of everything, villagers were just waiting with all this investment we have done. They joined him, cut the trees, the things he needed. If this thing does not work, the boy, when the first thing worked, he started smiling from up there. They were just looking at him. Why is he smiling? We are not seeing anything. No evidence. He now came down and said he to charge for a while, then he to start working. So confident. While they were walking, he told them to be arranging the ridges, the water will come. While they were arranging and arranging, water started dropping. The system he created. And it was just, you know, irrigation, artificial system of watering the ground. It was just, you know, watching everything they planted, and they began to have food to eat because of a small boy in the village. In fact, there was so much hunger, the secondary school in the village collapsed. It ended. Now, that young boy brought his village to limelight. Because of him, we know that village today. God's scholarship, hallelujah to Jesus. Studied in the U.S. finally, hallelujah to Jesus. Received several awards. But where was he? In a village where? Uganda. You, where are you now? Is it not better than a village in Uganda? Is it not better? What I'm trying to say is that nothing can hide your light. We have excuses. Go and check. Those people had... I mean, the government said the truth. They beat the government up. And he died. I mean, sorry, I said the government. The chief. They beat him up and he died. Bad leadership. It's Africa now. They're like Nigeria. So don't say because of this leadership now you'll not be able to do anything. You can do something. The Bible said darkness covers the earth. Gross darkness the people. He said, but upon you shall the glory of the Lord arise. Are you listening to me? Make up your mind that you are different. And that you must be different. And that you must mark greatness on this earth. Are you listening to me? Real-time greatness. Not just some small greatness. I'm talking about real-time greatness. That will cause you to subject yourself to some rigorous discipline. I'm talking about you going back home now. You were reading 1 hour. And you say, because of what I'm aiming. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I will turn 1 hour to 3 hours. You'll not die. In fact, the Bible says it is nice that you bear the yoke as a youth. Bear the yoke. A time will come you cannot take time to do those kind of things again. Take 3 hours. What are you wasting the time for? Are you people listening to me this evening? Take 3 hours. Read. Read things. Read. Tell yourself I'll become the biggest entrepreneur in this town in 2 years' time. In 1 year's time. That's how you start. Now worry so much to make it happen in 6 months. Worry so much to make it happen in 5 months. Pray about it. God likes greatness. Anything about greatness, he will support. Anything that is nice, he will support. The Bible says, whatsoever is nice, think of it. Whatsoever is of good report, think of it. Don't just sit down and play small. Don't play small, play big. There's greatness on your inside. Are you listening to me tonight? Don't play small at all. Don't. Say, BSU, with all these things they are doing, forget about it. You can still be great. Why other people are complaining about lecturers? Are you aware that some people are making first class in the same department? Because they separate. If you watch those people, they separated themselves from the noise. Don't be like the children of Israel that died in the wilderness. Are you listening to me? And as Christians, before we end, what makes us unique? It's not that we just make up our mind and say, we are optimistic, we'll make it, blah, blah, blah. You have to be under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will affirm that you are grown and matured. Are you listening to me? Don't just say, I want to be successful. You see, the Holy Ghost will not affirm that you can be successful if you are not under him. He's the one that will mark finally and say, this one, this boy, has all it takes to be successful. What he will do is that he will deal with all the wrong characters in your life. He will remove everything that, so that when you get up there in the level of success, in the highest level of success, that bad character will not bring you back down. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He sees one bad character on your inside. He will work on you. You have to be under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes men. As you are under the mighty hand of the Spirit, he is dealing with wrong characters. He's dealing with that pride. He's dealing with that spirit of immorality. He's dealing with that wrong character that you are not aware of. And as he deals with it, you'll be wondering. You know, sometimes you can even work hard and still be stunted. Yes. Not making progress. Because you are diligent physically. You are reading, you have read your books and etc. And now you are a graduate from BSU with a first class degree. But when the Holy Spirit weighs you in the supernatural, he doesn't see somebody that can get to that level and be sustained as a Christian in that level. There are so many lecturers who had first class who today in BSU and Uni Agric, all they do is to sleep with young girls so that they pass. They'll tell you, if you don't sleep with me, we'll not pass. That's not the kind of generation God wants to raise. Are you going to get what I'm trying to explain to you? So you have to be under him. Even though you made first class, it's not enough. It's not enough. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So you must stay with the Holy Spirit. He has to work on you. And there are systems he has put in place to help you grow. Of course, the Holy Spirit ultimately and the local church. So that as you sit down here, what is happening? You are receiving the word of God. The Bible says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? And how do we live as a righteous? We live by faith. So if you truly love your destiny, you see, look at the connection. If you love your destiny, you will love church. Because there's no other way God will use to help you grow except the church. You see, the church has been made useless in the heart of many. And I know some people have all the reasons not to come to church. Just like they have all the reasons not to use a bank. But do you still have a bank you use? Huh? Do you still have a bank you use? They are all the reasons. Now sometimes you will see bad eggs. It doesn't mean the church is bad. They are bad banks. It doesn't mean banks are entirely bad. Where will you save your money? It's only necessary that you must save your money in a bank. You can't carry 10 million around. Will you be able to sleep? Imagine you are sleeping with 10 million in your room and cockroach pass. You will hear the sound. What? Who moved there? Who moved there? Meanwhile, that was cockroach. And after you look at the cockroach, well, where will you check? You will check if the cockroach touched your money. But if it's in a bank, you don't have any problem. If bank catch fire, bank will pay you. You tell bank, sorry, please, I want to withdraw my money. It's always a church. I don't know what is wrong with the church. Even if you have seen things that are wrong with the church, go to church. Are you people get out and trying to say, go to church? Don't allow anybody to deceive you. Now that you are seated in church, are you not feeling excited? Are you not feeling refreshed by the word of God? Are you not feeling blessed? That's what Satan wanted you to miss. I'm sure some of you, they forced you into the service. Say, try and come. You will not regret it. Are you regretting it? But the devil doesn't want you to come. He only wants you to go to BSU. Then you come out and say, I made it. We finally did it, mommy. First class, second class, third class, pass degree. We made it. And when you are done, you find yourself in this country, Nigeria. The system humbles you. It humbles you literally. But you see, if you understand God like Daniel, he said, they that know their God, it has to be personal. They shall be what? If you feel weak, you don't know your God. You only come to church and just, it work. You have to go beyond dancing. Are you listening to me? And people just come to church, they'll just do line and be dancing. They don't know God. Their best moment is when to carry chair up. Or like those that will come for our vigil this year. They'll carry trumpet at the back. Woo-hoo! When I preach small preaching, the one they don't even understand too. Woo! If Satan hits you, you'll not be able to survive it. But they that know their God, they shall be what? And they shall what? You got to know him personally. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm what? Persuaded by him. You know, I saw a video lately, before we go. I saw Jesus, it's a video on YouTube. It's my favorite video. Every time I see it, I stop. It's more like an ad. But I love to watch the video. I'm sure some of you have seen that video. Jesus was entering hell, and as he was entering, demons were bowing. How many of you have seen that video? And he got to the devil on his throne, and the devil stood up and bowed. And I just, you know, there's a picture I love about the video that it painted. That he was not scared a moment. He was just walking. And they were bowing. And I learned something about the law of faith there. The Bible says fear is a snare. Are you listening to me? Meaning Satan sees that, you know, Satan has a how do I put it? He sees a foothold in your life when you are afraid. The Bible says perfect love cast out fear. Listen, you know how you are supposed to live your life as a child of God? How many of you believe you died with Christ? You were buried with Christ? You resurrected with Christ. The old man is gone. Don't think about the old man. Think only about the new man. Be conscious of the new man. Don't think about the old man. Forget the devil. He will bring some suggestions in your life that will make you feel that you are not what God is saying today. You are who God says you are. No matter what is happening, the Bible says, as long as your life is built upon the rock, that the wind can hit you vehemently. You know, the streams will hit you vehemently, but you will not fall because you are standing on the rock. Just have a consciousness that you're on the rock. And as long as you're on the rock, the gate of hell will not prevail against you. Refuse to be scared. I'm only conscious about righteousness, not sin. In the name of Jesus, I can't sin. It's not pride. I can't sin. I'm not expecting to sin. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you talk like this, you grow. You grow. You see yourself growing in the name of Jesus. Christ is a light so shining in him, there's no trace of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have no trace of darkness in my life. I don't think about your probability to fall to the devil. I refuse to fall to the devil. I can't fall to the devil. The devil is under my feet. And the God of peace, Romans 6:20, will curse Satan. Will crush Satan under my feet. Satan is dust, and to dust he has returned in the name of Jesus. But I have the Holy Ghost. The same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in me. That spirit has quickened my mortal body, and now my body is immortal. And on the strength of this, thank you, Holy Spirit, because I am not a debtor to the flesh. I'm a debtor that by the Spirit I mortify the desires of my flesh. In the name of Jesus, you talk like this. Simple but very powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the world will not support what I'm saying. They will think it's fiction. They are so used to this world, they think the things we are saying are lies. You hail from heaven. You only found yourself in Otugbo. But where you come from originally is heaven. That you saw that you are naturally on the earth from Otuko and Zakibiam does not mean you are from there. You hear from heaven. The Bible says you are in the world, not of the world. That's how I think. In the name of Jesus. I keep on saying the words, in the name of Jesus. Because evil, the flesh wants to do all the evil things, but you keep on speaking God's word to the flesh. In the name of Jesus. You see, by the Spirit, mortify the desires of the flesh. You sense temptation. Speak God's word. Mortify it. Are you listening to me? Subject the flesh by the words of your mouth. Remember, your words, spoken words, are called the sword of the Spirit. Through which you fight is on the offensive. You fight with the sword of the Spirit. Speak God's word in the name of Jesus. You spirit of the devil trying to find expression through my flesh, be subjected in the name of Jesus. I'm above only, never beneath. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body has been mortified. I do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how you talk. And that moment you live above. It's a man ought to pray or they will be fainting. Meaning every time you send Satan, speak God's word. Sustain yourself in the above. The realm above. Sustain yourself at the Father's right hand. Are you listening to me? By speaking God's word, speak it every time. No consciousness of Satan. I've lost it. I'm not scared. In the name of Jesus. How do you think that we'll be in this world and live without sin? If not speaking God's word. If not believing God's word. How do you think? You think it's possible? No lie, but I'm very sure. And I've heard several times, people say they are surprised with my life. I'm not trying to be proud or say proud things. We are surprised with this young man. We expected all the atrocities, you know, from when we knew him. I started preaching from 16. People expected the worst. They expected all the stupid things. Some did not see me rising to this point. They felt like in no time we'll hear some stupid things, blah, 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 blah. I can never be a victim of where I'm coming from. Never. Because I have a new consciousness. I hail from Zion. Glory to God. I have no business with anything my grandfather ever did. It's not my business. You know, I see some big preachers say, oh, I prayed and God took me to the things that happened with my great grandfather. He told me to break the altars. No, 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 no. I don't live by those altars. I live by a new altar in the heavens. My high priest is Jesus, who liveth eternally to make intercessions for me. Glory to God. And I'm only conscious of that altar. That altar speaks better things. Better things than any blood. I don't care the blood my great grandfather's. The blood of Jesus is more than enough. Once and for all it has been offered. Not just for my sin, for my prosperity. for my well-being, for my health. Are you listening to me? That's how we talk as Christians. If you start breaking altars, you are ignorant. You've given Satan a foothold. This is some believers say, we break altars, we come against. What are you saying? Which altars is standing against you? You that is seated far above the principalities and powers, far? What are you breaking from here? You enforce your authorities. No altar stands against me. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. My life is leveraged on the highest altar. Hallelujah. That's how you talk. You thank him for what he has done. Are you listening? Satan is not dying again. He has died. Hebrews 2:14. He has destroyed him that had power. He had power. Satan has no power over you. That's how you talk as a child of God. You keep on speaking these words every day of your life. And you will never fall a day to the devil. Never. Never. This is what will make you see fine girls and greet them with the love of Christ. See fine boys and know that it's only one you will marry. Are you listening to me? It will cause you to mature. You are not trying to form it. You are not doing it to impress anybody. You are doing it because that's who you are. That's who you are. See, you're not trying to be faithful to your wife at all costs. You are faithful to your wife because it's in your nature to be faithful to your wife. You can't imagine yourself with another woman because of your new nature. See, it's not advice that make men to live faithfully. It's a new nature. A new nature. The new nature in Christ. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. We are marked for greatness. We bear on ourselves the mark of Christ. We dare not to be touched. Are you listening to me? I've grown to a point. It's not pride. I've grown to a point that if they throw a bomb around me, coming straight to me, I've not experienced it, but I know it will happen. I've grown to a point that I can see a bullet coming to my head and I'll say, God, you will save me. With no questions, God, you have saved me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can save me. You can save me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who can be against me? You know, when we say things like this, some people think we're just... I know there are matters. Christians who have been martyred. But I tell you the truth. What matters is not that you are martyred. What matters is that you live for Christ. Are you listening to you? He died for you to live, not die for you to die. See, there is more in heaven for you to live than for you to die. Do you know that if somebody is standing here to kill you, God wants you to live and not die. Your death does not impress him. Because he has died already for you to live. Now, God bless those who have been martyred for Jesus. But I tell you the truth. If you look at the Bible carefully, there were certain people who died. Huh? They died. Isn't it? There were certain people who they could not kill. Is it not the same God? I asked my friend one time. I said, why is it that some disciples died? Some did not die. Some could not even be killed. I said, why is it that God's power is different in different kind of people? He said, no. He said, it is faith that determines the victory. Faith. It doesn't mean those people are foolish. You see, faith is a function of knowledge. It comes by hearing the word. A revelation you don't know, you will not have faith in that direction. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are some people that think, and they are expecting that, in fact, they are thinking that they want to die for God. Listen, I'm not saying that if somebody wants to kill me now, say, don't kill me, let me live, don't kill me, I want to live for God. Sorry, I want to live, don't kill me, I deny God. I can never say that. But you know, I can say, I will not deny God and still not die at the same time. Do you know God can do those two things? It is your faith. Now, with all due respect to anyone that has been martyred, we're not talking down them. But I'm teaching you that amidst any situation, know that God can deliver you. He has delivered so many. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? And he will deliver so many. In fact, the Bible says he has delivered us before we entered. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. Let me say this thing before we close. No matter what you are taking in your heart, you know that if you don't believe this thing, especially in this season, you are in trouble. We are in a season in Nigeria that you have to start believing things like this. Because some of you who don't live in this town, and I'm not prophesying something bad to you, the people who traveled and died on the road did not plan or pray to die. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Somebody may say, it doesn't work like that. I beg, don't be tempting God. It's not tempting God. It's faith. Listen, if you think the faith will not work, try it, let it not work so that you die, knowing you have tried it. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. At least try it. It needs your you know, the equation says we believe and so we speak. And not just speaking, he said he has said so that we may boldly speak. Many faith equation, the law of faith is not fulfilled in that you believed in your heart alone. When you don't believe it, you have to boldly speak. Meaning, before fear, you have to boldly say, "Ah, I shall live to declare the works of the Lord." Yeah, I know what I'm teaching you people. I may be insulted by some people on the media, but I know what I'm teaching you people. I'm not disregarding those who have been martyred for Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you that for some of you who are alive, know that amidst danger of death, I'm telling you, God can deliver you. Daniel in the lion's den, for his faith, it was persecution. The lion had been hungry for many years. The Bible said when Daniel entered, the king said, "Let your God save you." That's what God likes. But he likes your, he needs your own participation. Daniel participated. Even Daniel was not expecting to die. Read the Bible and see what Daniel said afterwards. He did not expect to die. He said, "I prayed and the Lord God closed the mouth of the hungry lion." He said, "I prayed." Meaning when he prayed, he was not expecting the mouth of the lion to open and kill him. Look at the prayer of Daniel. He said, "I prayed that the Lord closed the mouth." And he did. Meaning if he didn't have faith, he would have not prayed it. But I say, "God, into your hand I command my spirit. They want to kill me for you. I'm coming to meet you right away." But the Bible says he prayed that God will close the mouth, and he did. I told you people, church, something. With all due respect, again, I said to those who are dead, I was watching one video about just killing, and there's a pastor that said something that blew my mind. And one preacher who believes in immortality, I don't know if you have forgotten, but I am still on immortality. Are you listening to me? We shall live and not die. I tell you the truth. I believe in it from the depth of my heart. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? We've been quickened. Understand this. We've been quickened. Hallelujah. This pastor, they were killing people. He now told his wife, "This is not how I will die." Him and God did not agree again. I said, I call it the law of faith. Him and God did not agree. I will look for that video and play it for you people. Maybe on Sunday. I've been saying it, just I've not played it. You know, it's not so nice to play it because people died. Even the pastor was not shouting about the testimony. He just said it passively to the governor. Just not casually, sorry, to the governor. He said, when they were killing the people in Hausa, he said, "I just told my wife that no, this is not how I'll die." Then he came out from the house and he told his wife, "Follow me." When she followed him and they came out and they stood at the front of the house, the Fulani people were entering and they went inside and killed a lot of people and came out ten like this. He was wondering. The wife was wondering. They did not see them. They went away. And when people came back, only him and his wife were not killed. But he didn't, like I said, he did not stay there. He was complaining to the governor. He said, "I just told myself this is not how I'll die. And God help me. I disappeared in their front. They did not see me. But I was seeing all of them." You know, some of you, when you see a gun before your head like this, you are wondering how will God do it. Because you know physics very well. You know how bullets travel. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know it so much. But God's technology, you are not so familiar with it. In fact, listen, the Bible did not say you must be familiar with how God does things. He said, "Do not take a thought by saying, how shall..." Don't take a thought from Satan. If you take anything from Satan, you ask God stupid questions. How can you ask the "I am as I am"? How will you do this? He will do it. He is called the Exodite, the multi-breasted one. Any situation he enters, he comes out from the situation. That's who God is. He said, "Do not take a thought by saying, how will this thing be? Know that you are he's your father and you are his son." How many of you ever thought of your school fees? All of you with fathers in this place, you thought of your school fees a day. You only called. You were 100% sure your school fees will come. "Daddy, the semester has begun. We are about to write exam." You don't care what that man is doing anywhere. All you are expecting is a lot. In fact, with extra money. That's who God is to you. Alabushaka. That's it. And even more. Are you listening to me? See, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. The money you want to have, God wants you to have it even more than the way you want to have it. But there's an algorithm. Know this version of you. Can you wake up to that supposed version? Can you lose yourself? Lose the old man. Are you listening to me? Paul says, it's no longer I that live. Forget the old man. Forget all your logic. He said, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of it is death. Forget it. Trust the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. If you are trusting him, you must lean not to your own understanding. Trust him. Trust him completely. Are you listening to me? Trust him from the depth of your heart. There are some testimony we will tell you, like I said with my wife. One time we will tell you some of this testimony. Powerful, mighty testimony. I don't believe any sad thing can happen to me. Oh, glory to God. I don't believe. Because I understand the power of prayer. I understand the law of faith. As long as my knees are okay to pray. As long as I have time to pray. No situation can be too much for me. A God general said, no mountain can stand before nails that are bent down praying to God Almighty. He said, no mountain can stand before them. No mountain. He said, before God, mountains skips. They skip as rams. What are you thinking about right now? God can do double. He said, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the heart of man. He said, I have prepared for them that love me. Unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all you have ever thought or imagined, according to his power. He can do above everything you are thinking. He can do. A lot of times I feel it's your thinking that is limiting him. He can do beyond. He can do. He said, through my power at work in you. Oh, there's something at work in you. There's something at work in you. And through it, God wants to give you what eyes have not seen. I have it. The Holy Ghost, he's working in me. He's working in me. He's working in me. Oh, he's working in me. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. You deserve the best. I wish I can remove my spirit and soul and throw on everybody here to catch this revelation. You can have the best. You deserve the best. Are you listening to me? You can fit in anywhere. In fact, you are the standard everywhere. You don't have low esteem, low self-esteem. Don't have it. Refuse it. You go in Okoga. It doesn't mean your English is not so polished. It does not mean. Polish it in the secret place. When you are done praying in tongues, carry dictionary and polish your English. Polish it. Because you deserve the best. You are preparing because God is taking you to positions where great and mighty men will come before you. And you speak the language of kings. Are you listening to me? Don't play small. It does not do good to the world. Don't play small. You deserve the best. You are not everybody. You are different. You found your identity in Christ Jesus. You are different. You don't talk like everybody. No, not again. Not again. Not again. You go back home. You change your conversation. There are certain things you don't do again. There's a certain way you don't behave again. You are now a child of God. There are certain things you can't watch again. There are certain music you can't hear. They will laugh at you. Listen, they will laugh at you. But make up your mind. I don't listen to those songs. It doesn't matter if the people are popular or they are making money. I found out that there are different kinds of success. That success means different things to different people. For me, success is not just having money. No! I prosper as my soul prospers. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? I understand there is nothing I can offer in exchange of my soul. God considers my soul to be more important than any amount of money in the whole world. So I will make sure that my soul is thinking right. My soul is in the right frame of mind. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's how you think now as a believer. You don't care what people are thinking. You know, let me share one thing before I end. While I was growing up, as a young pastor, people expected this Gen Z behavior. And I'm not trying to condemn. Where you come to church and see me with a pickup by the side, or I've dyed my, people were expecting me to look. You know, I had friends who asked me some questions. Why are you just so stiff with this your Christian? At least looks, don't you see the way all these young pastors? And I'm not trying to condemn them. I said to them that it's not my conviction. I think there's something better that we need to prove as a new creation church than all of these kind of dresses. I said to them boldly, I don't have low self-esteem. You will never find me trying to be like anybody. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? When I tell people I don't wear bangles, I don't do this, it's not because I want to disgrace or insult anybody that is doing it. It's my conviction. I just feel it's not necessary. There are many things to prove than doing all of those kind of things. What I'm trying to tell you is have self-confidence. You must not bust your nose. Don't bust it. You must not pull leg chains. I'm not trying to call those things sins, but they are odd. You all know what I'm trying to talk about. They are odd. You are a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Even if the whole world are doing it, don't do it. You are a child of God, light of the world. Imagine, it's very difficult. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's very difficult if all of you who are ladies here see a lady that busts her nose with chains on her legs telling you that Jesus loves you. How many of you accept it? Let's be very sincere. How many of you say, I love that Jesus? There will be question comma in your brain. You are looking at the nose and the leg. What the heck is happening here? Which Jesus is this? How many of you as young men now will like me with my ripped jeans, with my pickup and chain and V-neck? And I'm like, listen guys, Jesus loves you, man. Some of you are even thinking it will fit me. Look at them. I think this thing will fit prophet. But there are some of you that will be looking at this. This is our church. It's not a serious church. When somebody comes to the church and say, that your pastor, see the way it is, don't mind our pastor. We are just like that in this church. Am I trying to condemn the people? No. But it will be difficult to believe them. Even the people that dress like that will not believe the people that dress like that preaching to them. It will be difficult. This is the point I'm making. In this new, in this 21st century, many people think that the proof that we are new creation is the new hairstyle, is the new way of dressing, not new power. Are you beginning to try to say? Higher power. The Bible says, he said, if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, he said, the ministry of the righteous one excels. Let me tell you people something. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. Bishop Oyedepo, Padibui, and this old man of God, Pakumui, will never respect a generation that claimed to be doing what is right with dyed hair and earring as men, some of them two bald ears. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? They will never in their life believe that God is at work in that generation. They'll never. And let me say one thing before I end. That you are seeing small moves of God with your dyed hairs and bald ears as a man, bald nose and the rest does not mean God is pleased with you. The children of Israel never had their shirt faded for 40 years. They had cloud by day, fire by night, blah, blah, blah. But the Bible says God was not pleased with that generation. You see that? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You will see on your en route to the promised land, you will see supernatural manifestation. It doesn't mean you have entered. And that's what is killing this generation. Because as with the wrong things they are doing, they will see God move. And they'll be thinking, God is okay with us. He said the ministry of condemnation was what? Glorious. A ministry of condemnation was glorious. Then you think God will not move? He will move. As long as there's a people that are hungry for him, you will forget your bald nose and ears. He will move. That doesn't mean he's approving what you are doing. He said, finally, some will say, I healed in your name, but I prophesied in your name. I healed the sick in your name. But what will he say? Huh? What will he say? Woe to you, you walker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Did you catch something tonight? That all of these things, because you have seen the move of God with a wrong lifestyle, does not mean he's an approver. You can be talking. I don't know how to put this thing. You may be doing. There are some people today. That's what is affecting the prayer life of many Christians. They are online shouting amen, amen. And there's nothing wrong with morning prayers. But they don't have devotion to God. Complete devotion to God. There was a time I was speaking with somebody. Counseling. And my eyes were open. She was into this lifestyle of following men. And she was trusting God for something huge. And while my eyes are open, I said to her, are you involved? I don't know how to put this thing, because you have to be scared as a prophet. I don't know how to put this thing, but I'm just saying things. Listen, young lady, let's be very sincere. Are you involved with men? She said, yes, sir, I used to be. You used to? Are you sure you stopped? And she said, yes. While we're talking, she said, Pastor, there's something I want to tell you. I said, okay, go ahead. She said, I have not stopped. I'm into. I said, and you are trusting God? How does the thing work? I asked her. I said, first thing first, stop that lifestyle. Stop it. How old are you? She said she was 31 or something. I said, you are not married. And this is what you are doing. Now, and I asked her a simple question. You think God is wicked to look at somebody like me that have served him all my life? Huh? Now he wants to settle me in marriage. He will not carry you that is following every man and say, come and marry this brother. God is not wicked. I'm not saying that it is not possible for somebody to repent and we marry them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But in that kind of lifestyle, I say, how will God even answer you? Help you to get a husband? Some people are suffering because they want to suffer. What you sow, you reap. You can't be following men and want to have a good man as a husband. It's not possible. Are you all getting blessed this wonderful evening? You can't. What a man sows, he reaps. It starts now. If you will know that you'll be, if your homes will have problems, it's now. All of you who are young looking at me, it's now you will know. If you cannot be one boyfriend now, that's the kind of home you have. You can't be one girlfriend now. It's now. Kill that thing now. It starts now. And you know this part I just said is what my spiritual father used to tell me. He said, Simon, if you want to know, you go far. It's now. He said, who are you talking to now? I said, we just laugh. I said, go and make sure you're not talking to anybody. Else you will not go far. It's now. It starts now. Are you all listening to me? Be disciplined with God. God has the best for you. The best man, God has him prepared for you. The best woman, God has a woman prepared for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And they may be around you. Just be patient with God. Alright? Don't go ahead and scatter everything with your own hand. You know? I gave one analogy before we pray. I said, imagine for instance, Betty. Betty now dates where are the men in this church now? Betty dates Donald, Betty dates Richard, Betty dates Betty now dates some of your names, I'm even forgetting them. Pastor Ed. So when Betty was first year in church, she dated Donald. When she was second to third year in church, she dated Richard. And at the fifth year in church, she dated Pastor Ed. And that's where she is probably. And now Betty broke up. Now Betty wants to date a new person. And the news is everywhere. Betty, that girl, you won't marry that girl. Blah, 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 blah. She has dated Donald. She has dated four people. Hey, God forbid, Betty, I beg you. I did not hear God. You see, people will be scared because of what they've heard. No matter how somebody hears God, even if God forgives your sin, right? Genuine men will go beyond whatever they are hearing to marry you. But some kind of men who are not truly spiritual, when they come around and they hear, Ngozi, hey, you won't marry Ngozi, my brother. Take it easy. Most of them will go back and say, my brother, I will buy you lunch. Tell me, what did Ngozi do? And when they deposit that news, most of them will run away. To save yourself self-problem, don't be getting into unnecessary relationships. This is not a meeting for this, but I will just add it up. Some of you that will just, one day, you'll be hearing, I think some of you are hearing these issues online. It's not satisfying me. She's not satisfying me. Who taught you satisfaction? It's because of wrong relationship. Me and my wife don't have a problem like that because we never knew anybody. We knew ourselves. And we knew the definition of anything because we were the first. But if you are everywhere, you've met lions and lambs. Now you have one in between a lion and a lamb. There will be trouble. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? How did I get from spiritual to this point? To relationship summit. Did you get everything? Go back home and think. Eh? Think. This message is for everybody. Think calmly. Think. Some of you will break up after this message. Say amen. Go back. Some of you go back and kindly break up. Give that person a red card. You know what I'm talking about. Favor, right? You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go back and God has a woman for you. The woman God has for you, she's waiting. The man God has for you, he's waiting. He's waiting patiently. He's waiting. He's watching. Don't scatter anything with your hand. Kuna Gina, all of you are hearing me? Yes, when I say all of you, God has somebody for all of you, not some of you. Don't say I'm too big, I'm so slim, my head is too big. God has somebody that has been praying about you. And when the person come, it will shock you. Let no man or woman manage you. That's a word for somebody. I don't know why I said it, but I'm very sure I'm talking to somebody. I've been preaching for years. Are we together? Bow your heads and pray. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Just pray and thank the Lord for His word.
Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Lord, be unto me according to your heart, according to your promises. I can stand secure, have upon my heart this truth that makes me free. According to your word, O God, be it unto me. Oh, be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises. I can stand secure, oh God, cast upon my heart this truth that makes me free. According to your word, oh God, be it unto me. Oh, carve upon my heart all the truth that makes me free. According to your word, oh God, be unto me. Oh God, carve upon my heart the truth that makes me free. According to your word, oh God, be unto me. Oh God, carve upon my heart all this truth that makes me free. According to your word, oh God, be unto me. Oh, one more time, carve upon my heart all the truth that makes me free. According to your word, oh God. You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my soul. Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one, most holy. My hiding place, my hide. My treasure, Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one, most holy. I will exalt you, I will exalt you. As we are seated, can we all just lift our hands in complete surrender to the Lord? I will exalt you. Oh, you are my God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will. I will exalt you. I will. I will exalt you, Lord. I will. You are my God. You are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just pray in the Spirit for a moment and just thank Him for all you have heard? Thank Him.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Before I knew my name, before I drew a breath, He was making ways for me. Now I'm everything, each and every step, He is making way for me. When my heart is full of doubt, feels like faith is running out, I've come too far to turn around. I know that God will work. Oh yes, He will. Pushing past the fear, fighting to relieve, He is making ways for me. And He won't let me down, never ever leave. He's still making way. When my heart is full, feels like pain is rolling. Come too far to turn. One thing I found, oh,
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord is not slack to fulfilling His promise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just tell the Lord thank you for a moment before we are seated? Just tell Him thank you. Count your blessings. Be grateful to Him. Thank Him for His finger. You will see His hand.
God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found, is that God has worked it out. When I think of how you bless me, how your hands has never let me go, has never. You have been so
God has been good, He has been good, He has been good, He has been good. Find a reason to see how good He is, and it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind.
For the wrongs that you redeemed. say, one more reason to believe it. Well,
thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. Your goodness is running over us, running after us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. And we thank you for your faithfulness over the years. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even in our unfaithfulness, we give you all the praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we worship. Can we celebrate Jesus as we are seated?
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.